Okay, so we're in Psalm 49. You ever go shopping and find things you can't afford? Everyone's nodding their heads. You know, you look at the sticker, the price, and you say, "Ooh, that's out of my price range. I can't buy that." There are some things that are so expensive that only the rich can afford them. But you know what? There are some things that are so expensive that not even Elon Musk can afford them. I'm going to read Psalm 49. To the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches? Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man, in his pomp, will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol. For he will rescue me, Selah. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praises when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man, in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Okay, this psalm is about wealth and what it can do. Or I guess I should better put it, what it cannot do. It begins with a, hear this, all you, it's just listen up. Listen to what I'm going to say. That's the idea in the first roughly four verses. I'm going to speak wisdom, verse 3. I'm going to incline my ear to a proverb and solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. And so what he's saying is, you know, the Psalms are songs. And so he's gonna basically give you wisdom in a song. That's what he's saying in verse 4. I'm going to give you wisdom in a song. We're going to sing this. And then he goes in and talks about the wealthy. And in this psalm, the rich think themselves something special. Look at verse 6. Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. They boast in their riches. Look at verse 11. They called lands by their own names. These are people who had lots of land, and you know what the name of that land is? It's my name. That's the name of that land. Look at verse 13. Those who have foolish confidence. Look at verse 18. It's talking about the wealthy. While he lives, he calls himself blessed. And so you get this idea of the rich thinking highly of themselves because they are rich. It's, you know, when you have financial success, you think you're pretty smart. That's the idea. And you've seen this. You don't need me to tell you this happens. You've seen it. You don't need scripture even to tell you it happens. You've seen it with your eyes. And it's not just that the rich think that they are something special. Other people think that the rich are special too. Look at verse 13. So they boast, they've got foolish confidence, and yet after them, people approve of their boasts. So other people are approving of their boasts as well. Look at verse 18. You get praise when you do well for yourself. In verse 18, that's coming from other people. And so here's this dynamic. We've got wealthy people who think they're pretty smart and pretty special and pretty high because they have a lot of money. And then we've got other people who approve of that. They think the same thing. They think, oh yeah, he's pretty special as well. It's like Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. There's this song, If I Were a Rich Man. If I were a rich man. Biddy, 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 bum. In the song, he says, when you're rich, they think you really know. And that there's a lot of truth to that. And so, in other words, what we're seeing then in this psalm is this idea that men worship earthly success. We worship it. We praise those who have power. We praise the wealthy. We praise those who are physically attractive. It's all earthly centered, and we're praising it. And so people here on earth praise earthly success. So those with riches and with power think they're special. And most of the rest of the world agrees with them. You know, just watch the Oscars. Watch some TV for a little bit, and if you don't think that's true. Or just go listen to your coworkers talk. You know, when people talk about getting ahead or succeeding in life, they're talking about earthly stuff. That's what they mean when they talk that way. And so most people think that earth is a measure of success. But God says it isn't. God says that earthly riches are like a pretty paint job over rotted wood. It looks really good, but it isn't going to last very long. And behind that pretty paint is just rottenness. And so look at this psalm now. Verses 7 through 9. Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit. He's saying, no matter how rich you are, you can't give a ransom for your life. You can't pay money for your life. You can't buy eternity. You can't buy God. Now, the wealthy and the world would agree, think sometimes they can buy anything. But you can't. There are things you can't buy. And God is one of them. And eternal life is one of them. And quite frankly, those are the things that matter. The things you can buy aren't the things that matter. Look at verses 10 and 11. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, even though they called lands by their own names. He's saying the rich die and they leave their wealth to other people. And they go to the grave. They used to call lands by their names. Now, the only land that applies to them is about 6 feet by 2 feet. That's the land that applies to them. It's like an old short story by Tolstoy. How much land does a man need? I'm not going to tell you the story. You probably haven't read it. But it's... Well, I'll tell you enough of the story to illustrate. Russia, it's the steppes, the grasslands of Russia. Land everywhere. Russia's got land. And the local people there were giving land away. And the rule was you can get as much land as you could walk around from sun up to sundown. And so this guy goes, he wants to get some land. And he's ready to start sun up, and sun rises and he goes. And so he's going to walk around a plot of land in a day, and when he has to end where he started. And whatever he walks around, that's his land. And so he goes, and the day, the sun's getting high in the sky, and he's running, and he's walking and running and walking and trying to get as much land. He goes, and then he has to turn right. And so he's turning right, and he's looking at the sun, and the sun's getting about to where I think I need to start heading back. And so he starts heading back, and he's running, and he gets to where he needs to cut back to the starting point. And so he's cutting back to the starting point, and he's looking at the sun, and he's not sure he's going to make it. And so he's running, like he's as much as he can, so he can make it back to that spot so he can get all the land that he got. And he gets back there, and he gets to the spot. And so the sun then just goes down. He made it. And he's... And he keels over and dies. And so the people there dig a hole and put his body in the hole and bury him. And how much land does a man need?
6 hours.
Yeah, exactly. That's the story. That's how the story goes. And so that's how much land a man needs in the end. Okay, that's appropriate for what Psalm 49 is saying. Look at verses 12 and 20. They're the same idea. Man in his pomp will not remain. He's like the beasts that perish. Look at verse 20. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. If you've got a Bible, you know, circle those two verses, because that's a theme of this. He's repeating the idea. It's the same idea. Man in his pomp, all his wealth. Pomp is like wealth and glory and, you know, pretty clothes and trumpets blowing and all of that. That's what pomp means in English. All their glory is gone. They're just like the beasts that perish. They're no different from, you know, an animal. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. That's verse 13, just the next verse after verse 12. You're like the beast that's perished. That's your path when you have foolish confidence. Verse 14. They die like sheep. Verse 17. They carry nothing with them when they die. Their glory is gone. You get the idea. And deep down, you know it's true. I mean, we may on the surface pretend it's not true when we live life, but deep down, we know this is true. Those with earthly success think themselves special because of their earthly success. Most of the world agrees with them that this earthly success is the thing that matters. But in the end, earthly wealth and earthly power and earthly success and such are just like a morning mist that disappears when the sun rises. That's all it is. You had wealth for 2 minutes, and it's gone. Earthly success is temporary. Earthly success is shallow. Earthly success gives you nothing in the eyes of God. And so those who have earthly success, they boast. But God sees it. He even looks at their boasting and laughs. He laughs because they boast in something that's going to last for 10 seconds. It's like you might laugh at a child who's boasting, "Look at my green crayon." It's a green crayon. But he's boasting. But you see what it really is. See, all of the riches of this world do not impress God. And God ends all earthly success with death, because everybody dies. This is the thing about earth. Earth does not survive death. Your money, gone. Your houses, gone. Your land, gone. Your power, gone. Your pomp, gone. Everything is gone. When you die, it's gone. Everything from earth, anyway. At death, earth is gone. And we need to see this. It gives us a different perspective on how pretty earth is. You know how you go shopping and you look at that dress, or you look at that car, or you look at that whatever it is, and, oh, that's really pretty. And it is. It's a nice paint job. But when you see how shallow and temporary it is, it gives you a different perspective on all of this. Now, the psalmist in Psalm 49 is telling us how empty and shallow earth is in order to tell us how to live. There's a reason why he's saying this. He's not just saying it just to throw an idea out there. Here's what he says. Do not fear those with power and wealth. I'm going to read verse 5. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Look at verse 16. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. You should see in verse 5 and 16 the same idea. In fact, that's a theme that's repeated. I would, in my Bible, I've circled both of those and made a connection to them. Because that's an idea the psalmist wants you to see. He wants you to not be afraid. That's a theme of this psalm. We're not to fear those who are rich or those who are in power. Even when they, as verse 5 puts it, when they cheat us and surround us. And they do. That happens. You've seen that in life too. You've seen the rich and the powerful cheat people and surround them and persecute them and impress them and all sorts of things. You've seen it. But you're not to be afraid of them. Even if they're doing that. And the reason why is that in the end, they amount to nothing. Their riches and their power don't get them anywhere. They may have earthly power and riches, and they may be able to cheat you and do all sorts of things on the earthly level to you. But that's it. They're going nowhere. And we need to see that. You know, the reason why we fear those with earthly power and riches is because they can use their earthly power and riches to take away our earthly stuff. They can take away your money, and they can. They can take away your health. They can put you in prison. They can hurt your body. They can do this stuff. And if they have enough power and riches, they can do most anything they want on the earthly level. But the whole point of this psalm is that the earthly level doesn't matter. That's the point of the psalm. And so we fear because we believe in the end that the earthly stuff actually does matter. That's why we're afraid. You fear the loss of something you love. And when we think the earthly stuff matters, we're afraid. But when you see how empty earth is, all of a sudden it changes your perspective on losing some of that stuff. Here's some scriptures. Paul said this. He said, I count all things loss for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Think what he's saying. All things, that's earthly stuff. That's money. That's his health. I mean, he was beaten, stoned, you know, shipwrecked, all sorts of things when he gives his list of his persecutions. Paul then also said this, also in Philippians. That was in Philippians 3. This is in Philippians 1. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain? Like Paul, are you serious? He's serious. To die is gain. See, when you have that perspective, you have no fear. What are you going to do? Kill me? That's gain. That's go ahead. And Paul actually lived that out. Now, I understand it's a whole lot easier to talk like I'm talking, you know, to say, oh, don't fear those with power and riches, than it actually is to do it. It's hard to do. It's easy, you know, Mike, it's easy for you to talk, but it's a lot harder where I live. And I don't know that it's harder where you live. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I'm not claiming I do this all the time. I'm simply teaching the scripture. And the scripture says this is what we're to do. This is where we're to go. And for what it's worth, Jesus says the same thing. Here, listen to Jesus' words. Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Those are Jesus' words. And so this idea of do not fear, do not be afraid, it's coming from the psalmist. It's coming from Paul. It's coming from Jesus. It's not something that you just find occasionally in Scripture. It's actually repeated in Scripture a lot. It's probably repeated because we need it. Mm-hmm. Because we're weak and sinful and we're prone to fear. And so we need the reminder, hey, listen, don't be afraid. You got God. They got money. You got a better deal than they got. We need to be reminded of that. And so this, anyway, this idea is, it's a central idea in the Bible of not to be afraid. And so what Paul and Jesus are saying is what Psalm 49 is saying. Don't fear those who have earthly wealth. Don't fear them. So, how do we do that? Now, in this psalm, the thing that stands out and the thing that I've been talking about all along is that we have to see that earthly success is really empty. We have to see that. When you see that earthly success and money and power and whatnot is nothing more than that green crayon that the child was boasting over, and someone comes along to take your crayon, when you see that it really is a crayon, and someone comes to take it, you might actually offer it to them. Oh yeah, you want it? Here. It's just a crayon. But if you don't see that, you'll fear. You have to actually see that earth is empty to be able to let go of earth. But if you do see that, you're free. And I can tell you that there is really only one way to see how empty earth is. And that is to see how glorious God is. Look at verse 15 in Psalm 49. It says, "But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me." Now I want you to look back at verses 7 through 9, which I've read a couple times already. "Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit." Okay, no man can ransom his life. Verse 15, "But God will ransom my soul from Sheol." God does what the rich and the powerful cannot do. They cannot ransom their souls. They cannot buy eternal life. It's too costly. But God can buy your soul out of the pit, and he will receive you. That's verse 15. If you do not see God and what God has done, you will fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Now, verse 15 God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol. Sheol is a Hebrew word that roughly translated means something like the grave or the power, the place of the dead, so to speak. It's something like that. And so God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol. Now, the verse before, the rich and powerful are like sheep, and they're going to die just like sheep, and they're going to be consumed in Sheol. But God's going to take me from it. He's ransoming my soul from it. This is a concept of eternal life that we have when we've been ransomed by God. Verse 15 describes the cross. At the cross, the King of the universe made a payment. It was a blood payment. And it was a payment for your sin. And it ransomed your soul. God bought you by his blood out of slavery in order to free you and make you his own. And he will then receive you. And all that happens through the blood of Christ. Now, if you've been in the church any length of time, you've heard that story. But do you see it? I mean, not just, I hear the story, it's just a nice story. Do you know it's true? Do you see the love of God in the sacrifice? Do you see the glory of God through his humility? Or is that just another story? See, the story of what God did in ransoming you through the cross needs to be a part of you. It needs to be inside you. It needs to be you. You need to know it. Because when you know that you belong to God, when you know that God will receive you, when you know that he has bought you and that you have eternal life, when you know these things, it changes how you look at earth. Earth looks different when you know that you have life beyond earth. Earth is like 2 seconds in eternity. That's what earth is. Earth is just some run-down, one-room shanty. A shanty is like a broken-down house, small, with holes in the wall. And God is taking you to mansions of gold. It's like that. It's when you see God and his glory and what he's done and how he's called you to himself, you see this glory that God's willing to give to you. And all of the glory of earth isn't so much. God has made you his bride. What's Elon Musk in comparison to that? I mean, nothing. It's nothing. In Christ, we have to see we're rich. And when you see that you have the riches of Christ, then earthly riches lose a whole lot of their luster. Now, Psalm 49 is a contrast between two different people. There are those with great wealth, but who do not know God. And there is the one whose soul God ransoms. They're both in the psalm. There's the man who trusts in earth and who boasts in what he has. That's in this psalm. And there is the man who trusts in God. That man's in this psalm too. They're both in the psalm. Verses 12 and 20 describe the rich and the powerful who don't know God. We talked about it a little bit earlier. They're like the beasts that perish. In other words, guys, they're no different from a water buffalo. That's the idea. Verse 20 says they have no understanding. They don't see the spiritual world. They don't see God. They don't see the emptiness of all the stuff they're chasing. In that sense, spiritually speaking, they have as much understanding as a water buffalo. God has made us to know Him. It's why we exist. That's a central aspect of being made in the image of God. He made the human race in His image. That means that we as humans have the capacity to know God. It's actually why we exist. God made us to know Him. Okay, so we have this capacity to know God. A water buffalo doesn't. A water buffalo can't know God. So if you have the capacity to know God, but you choose instead to chase this empty world, you're just like the beasts that perish. You're no different from them. You were made to be different from them, but you're choosing not to pursue that. And so you're no different from them in the end. But we don't have to be that way. We don't have to love earth, pursue earth, fear earth, because all of those go together. The fear is with the love and the pursuit. The key is to love God, pursue God, fear God. It is to see that in Christ we have been ransomed and freed, and we shall see Him face to face. You never combat the influence of earth by fighting earth. That's a losing effort. You combat earth by pursuing Christ. You can pursue Christ only through the cross and through the resurrection. But you have to remember what that story. You got to remember it. It's part of who you are. And so we're going to close by remembering the cross, which is what communion is. And I've asked Hondi to lead us in that.